Well, here we are. It's 2024. It's January, and it's time to get into this year's series of Gail at the Table with Gail Hall, as always. So here she is in the show. Hello, Gail. Happy New Year.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to you, Peter. And lovely to have you on board for this for the beginning of this year, and maybe for the rest of the year as well.
Well, so it would seem, Gail, and it's a pleasure, absolute pleasure to be here with you. So between the two of us, it's your program, but we'll try and make it interesting and make sure that everybody enjoys what we're doing here.
Right. Well, with absolutely looking at over some recipes just in the last few days, I must admit that during the Christmas period, I did make a few things, which I'm going to talk to you about, not specifically today, but maybe the next program, that I did make a few things, and I'll probably grab those recipes, and I'm sure you'll be interested in them, because some of them, I made a vegan pavlova. And I thought that might interest the listeners, you know, and came out very, very well. And I took a photo of it in the oven so that people could see that it was a success. And a few other recipes that I've actually done. So, but we'll concentrate on today.
Well, the proof of the pudding, as always, Gail, is in the eating.
That's right.
So it's always nice to sort of get feedback on these things. And vegan, yes, it's not a thing that appeals to me at all. I always say, well, where's the bacon? But there's no doubt that the vegetarian is very, can be very, very nice.
And, too right, yes. I do like, actually, when I go out, I sort of tend to go vegetarian, but I still like meat.
Hmm.
Right, so we're going to start off today with a strawberry and goat's cheese cake. So this is quite a long recipe because it's got three components to it. We've got a strawberry coulis, and we've got a whipped mascarpone, and then, of course, there's the decoration. So sort of three components to this recipe. So it's quite a long one, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it. And just being a little bit different with the goat's cheese. Are you a goat's cheese fan, Peter?
Well, I'm quite happy to eat goat's cheese. It's one of those things. You're talking feta here, are you?
Well, feta or other cheeses, hard cheeses. I'm not sure whether goat's cheese is a hard cheese, is it?
You can get a hard, I believe, yeah. A hard goat's cheese. I think, you know, it's difficult. It's cheese, isn't it?
Well, that's right. But it has got a slightly different taste.
I'm not a purist. I've made cheese. I've made feta cheese and things.
Oh.
And it's you know, if you talk feta cheese and Greek salad, what more could you wish for?
Well, no, that's right. We'll go ahead with this one and see what you think. It's 150 grams of softened butter, 150 grams of caster sugar, 3 eggs, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 100 grams of ground almonds, 100 grams of plain white flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, a pinch of sea salt, and 1/2 cup of plain unsweetened yogurt, 160 grams of fresh or frozen strawberries, and you quarter those, and 100 grams of plain goat's cheese broken into small pieces. Now, that's initially the cake. So the next part of this recipe, I'll give you the strawberry coulis, which is 200 grams of fresh or frozen strawberries, 50 grams of caster sugar, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Now, 1 vanilla bean split lengthwise, but I always think if you haven't got a vanilla bean, I'm sure that the vanilla essence is going to do the same sort of thing. 1/2 teaspoon of freshly ground black pepper. Now, this is interesting because a lot of people say strawberries and black pepper, somehow they do go together. And I've heard this before. So that's one of the components of this recipe, is having the pepper in that strawberry coulis.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
It does.
And I tell you what I like about this. If I look at a recipe, it's always like glance down there. Well, actually, you've got all that lot in the cupboard. All I need to do is buy some strawberries and some goat's cheese.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what we like about our recipes, Peter. We try and sort of fit what's in the pantry. Occasionally, we have to go to, you know, get something special. But now we've got the strawberry coulis, and now we're going to go over to the ingredients for the whipped mascarpone. So you've obviously got 200 grams of mascarpone, 200 mils of double cream, 1 teaspoon of vanilla bean paste. And if you've got those, that's great. But 1 teaspoon, I don't ever have vanilla bean paste or the pods, so I just use vanilla. So we've got that, and then The third part is your choice, really, but we've got 50 grams of goat cheese broken into small pieces. Now, that's over and above what you've already got in the cheesecake itself, and a few fresh rosemary sprigs. Okay, so quite a bit there, but once you get into in the flow of actually doing this, it's probably not as long as you would think. Now, we're going to this. I'm starting off with the cake, of course. In the bowl of a stand mixer, cream the butter and sugar until very pale, light and fluffy. So if you haven't got a stand mixer, well, you stand and let the hand beater do it. So there we are. And so we're doing that, and then you're beating in the eggs one by one along with the vanilla. Gradually fold in the ground almonds, flour, baking powder and salt, and mix until just combined. We don't want to get the stirring machine going. We just want it just combined. Next, fold through the yogurt and be very careful not to overmix. Very easy. Just fold that in with your spatula. Evenly divide the batter between two cake pans. Whoops, I did fail to say that. It's two cake pans, but not rather large ones. They are basically just the smaller ones, so you're putting something together. So I would actually put the baking paper, you know, sort of at the bottom, and then just sort of just put a little bit round the sides if you feel comfortable with that. But mostly the bottom, because that's where your cake has to come out, and you can just, you know, spray the other or just grease it. But make sure you've got some in the bottom. And I didn't mention that you're going to preheat your oven to 170 degrees Celsius. Okay, so let's not forget that. Right, so you're evenly dividing the batter between those two cake pans and dot in the strawberry quarters and goat cheese pieces and press them down lightly into the batter. So you're just doing that. Bake approximately 30 minutes. The cakes are ready when lightly golden in colour and springy to touch. We always talk about the spring touch. You know, you touch it and you can sort of feel that it's actually cooked. And then you can put a skewer in, of course, and see if it comes out clean. Allow the cakes to cool for about 10 minutes in the pans before turning out on a cooling rack. Now, while the oven is still on, bake the 50 grams. We had the 50 grams of extra goat cheese pieces for the decorations. So line a baking tray with baking paper and evenly scatter the cheese crumbles onto the tray. Now, bake for about 7 minutes or until golden brown, and then just set aside. And I can just imagine, Peter, that this is going to really bring out the flavour of the goat cheese and sort of, you know, turn it from white to golden.
Yeah, it sounds interesting, that.
Can it
I just
does.
Leap back to the usual question? When you say preheat oven to 170 degrees, fan, not fan?
Well, I think, well, it can be fan bake, but basically, I'm not sure what it is if you are not using fan.
It's a bit high. It's usually about 20 higher, is it?
Yeah, I think it is about 180 or thing. I sort of, I'm terrible. I sort of sticked between 180 and maybe 170. It's only when I do sort of something that really intense that needs the 200 Celsius degrees, you know.
I'm never very convinced about this because our oven, although it's a fairly modern oven, we don't have a digital readout on the main oven. And so really it's a bit wet finger when you set the dial to 180 or 200. It could be either or. I sometimes wonder if it really matters.
Well, but there you are. You've answered my question anyway, because I think that's exactly what I do. I just sort of hover between them. And I think that's quite safe. And you've always got one eye on that. Have you got a window in your?
Yeah, got to keep an eye on it.
Yeah. Got a window in your oven. So anyway, we get back to the coolest. Now you're combining all those ingredients that I gave you in a saucepan. Bring to the boil on high heat and boil for 8 minutes, stirring occasionally. So I'd keep an eye on that. And just because it says boil doesn't mean to say you have to have it on high. So you can actually turn it down. I'd be looking at sort of bring it to the boil and then turn it down so that it is still boiling, but it's not, you know, ragingly boiling, because I think that's a big mistake and we could end up with burnt strawberry coolis.
I think you're right. Yes.
Yeah. So just keep an eye on that. Remove from the heat. Take out the vanilla bean if you've put one in. If you've just used some vanilla, well, the flavour's there. And place in the fridge to cool. Once cool, blend in a food processor until smooth. Now we're coming to the whipped mascarpone. In a stand mixer again, fitted with a whisk attachment, but if not, I think you just used your hand one, whisk together the cream, mascarpone and vanilla on medium speed until spreadable, and it'll look like sort of like a little bit like cream, I suppose, and just sort of spreadable icing. Combine the mascarpone mixture with half of the cooled strawberry coolis and gently swirl through the leaving visible ripples, so that's going to look pretty. When the cake are fully cooled, spread half of the strawberry mascarpone mixture onto one layer, place the other cake layer directly on top and spread over the rest of the strawberry mascarpone mixture. And to decorate, don't forget we've done that lovely baking of the goat's cheese. Scatter over the goat's cheese pieces and use a spoon to drizzle over some more of the strawberry coolis. And finish with some fresh sprigs of rosemary or whatever herbs or flowers that are edible, and just sort of sit them over the top. Now, refrigerate in an airtight container for up to 3 days, but if you're going to be serving it, just bring it out and let it stand for room temperature. Now, that's the end of that recipe, and I have got an illustration, and I'm going to show Peter. This is really what I would call a really special occasion cheesecake.
It sounds pretty good to me. Yes, it sounds,
you know, sort of, it's quite, it is different, mm. And you know, and it will look really lovely, but I'm just going to show you this, and it does look really nice, and you can see what I said by the swirling of the strawberry coolis through the mascarpone.
Yeah, and I, you did say at the end here, for the listeners, I've got the advantage. I'm looking at the recipe in front of me. You said, well, you spread the mascarpone mix over the top, you scatter the goat cheese pieces, then you drizzle the strawberry coolis over, don't you?
Yes, you
not
do.
The mascarpone on top of it again, which is what?
No, well, it's sort of mixed together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That,
so
looks,
I think,
just
yeah,
the coolest. Anyway.
Oh, just the coolest. There. Yeah, that's right. So just keep a little, couple of tablespoons behind and just use that for spreading over the top. Yeah. But it does look exotic and it does look very nice. And with the beautiful thyme just, you know, spread across the top, mainly for, for the eye appeal, you know, the green. And looks really, really nice. And if you're a goat cheese fan, this is the recipe for you, and I'd love you to try it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one altogether, that, yeah.
So now, kicking off, this is our first recipe for 2024. So let's just hope that we get into the swing of things, Peter, and people are going to enjoy listening to what we've got to offer.
You will note there that Gail always says, I've got a lovely picture here of it. I wait for the day when there's a clatter of a tin being opened. And here's one I made earlier, but it never seems to happen. Anyway, sorry, Gail.
Might surprise you one day.
You might.
So now we're going to move on to something a little bit simpler, a chocolate sesame cookies. And now this appealed to me because it's using the or, you'll hear me when I tell you, that you can use the aquafaba from chickpea, can of chickpeas, and or an egg. But I looked at it and I thought, here's another recipe where you can use the aquafaba from chickpea, a tin of chickpeas, so which is seems to be quite in vogue at the moment. But anyway, we'll start off with 1 cup of plain flour or gluten-free flour mix. So this can actually turn into a gluten-free, recipe. 1/3 cup of chickpea flour, or just use, if you don't want to use the chickpea flour and you're not doing it for gluten-free, Just use your plain flour, and 1/3 cup is just the extra flour that you put in. But if you want to sort of turn it into gluten-free, you're using the gluten-free flour mix and a bit of chickpea flour as well. 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 4 tablespoons of tahini, and 1 tablespoon of honey, 100 grams of butter, half a cup of brown sugar, sort of packed firmly, and 3 tablespoons of the aqua faba from the chickpeas, or 1 egg. So you don't have to use that. You can that actual liquid replaces the eggs.
You've educated me. So aqua faba, that's that glutinous stuff.
That's right. Exactly.
It's not just some kind of saline.
No, it isn't. And it looks, it's amazing when you whip that, how white it turns. Because it doesn't, it looks quite sort of brown and.
It does. You sort of think, glad to rinse it down the sink.
Well, believe it or not, Peter, that's what I used to do.
Well, that's.
But I'll never do it again.
No, and neither will I now.
No, no. I think you're going to try one of these recipes when I bring in the pavlova.
Well, it looks like the only way I'm going to. Oh, you're going to bring one in? No, I'm going to make it myself. But I butt in again because I've saw Jamie Oliver. He's a bit like this. And he's quick stuff. He says, well, open a tin of. And said, just tip it all in. A tin of lentils he opens, which again can be a bit. Got some strange sort of liquid.
Yeah, that's right. It's a little bit sort of weird. Yeah.
Throw it all in.
Oh.
Don't rinse it through. And
no.
So that's great.
No, it is good. So this is when I mentioned to you off air that, you know, with the vegan pavlova, and pavlovas are made with egg. So basically the aqua faba is taking that place. But anyway, if you don't want to use that, 1 egg, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. I sort of think we're getting a bit sidetracked, but anyway, I hope you're following this okay. 75 grams of good dark chocolate, roughly chopped, and of course sesame seeds for sprinkling. So we're going to preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius, or as Peter said before, you know, what's the difference? Well, I see they've got in brackets here 160 fan bake, so they do go up 20 degrees, you know, sort of higher. Your choice. Line a tray with baking paper, place the flours, cocoa powder, baking soda and salt into a bowl and whisk to combine and remove any lumps. In a small bowl, combine the tahini and honey into a thick paste. Melt the butter in a small saucepan, remove from the heat, add the sugar and whisk to combine. Add the egg, I'm going to say egg because the majority of you will be using an egg, and vanilla, and continue to whisk vigorously into a thick caramel. Pour the caramel into the bowl of dry ingredients and use a spatula to fold together. Add the chopped chocolate and tahini and honey paste and briefly mix again just until the tahini is swirled through the dough. Scoop heaped tablespoons of the dough and roll into walnut-sized balls and arrange on the prepared baking tray and press with your fingers to shape into cookies, you know, just sort of like, you know, holding them and just push them into place. Leave 2 or 3 centimetres space between each cookie and use 2 trays if you have to. Sprinkle each cookie with sesame seeds. Place in the oven and bake for about 12 minutes or until the edges of the cookies are just set and the centres are still slightly soft. The cookies will continue to firm up when they cool down, when they come out of the oven. And cool on the tray for a few minutes, then transfer to a rack to cool and store in an airtight container in the pantry and enjoy within 5 days. So I'm not sure how many it makes. Oh, it makes about 15 cookies. So there you are. Probably won't last the 5 days I'm a-picking. Yeah. No, unless you ration yourself.
It wouldn't last that long in our house. That's an interesting one altogether, isn't it? That's a quite good variation on that.
It is. Yeah, no, it is. And and that's why I liked it, actually, Peter, because it had a good variation. And yes, I might have to take you up on maybe trying those, and we'll see what happens next week.
Shall I bring a tin in for you to take home to bring some in?
Yeah, bring a little container.
I don't want to use the excuse, well, I made them, but I'd got nothing to put them in to bring them in.
So that's our first couple of recipes, and we'll come back with a couple more.
Thank you, Gail. That's wonderful. Yes, we'll have a little bit of music. And this instance, I was talking about what we've been cooking there. I say to you, Gail, are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Oh, wouldn't I like to?
going to Scarborough Fair. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a cambric shirt, a deep forest green. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Snow crested brown, without no sea. Sleeps on the wing of a cloudy and calm. Tell her to find me an acre of land, a sprinkling of leaves. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and blossoms that are of sun and tears. Between the salt water and the two strands and polishes of gum. She'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle of blazing in scarlet battalion. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
We are Simon and Garfunkel. So you're back, Gail. Did you get your parsley, sage, and rosemary, and thyme, and everything?
Oh yes, I did.
I see you shopping baskets.
I didn't have to go far. The back garden.
Jolly good. So on with the program.
We've got now roasted mushrooms with corn and ricotta, and this looked very nice. And I've just gave Peter a preview of the picture, and it's, you know, he sort of thought, I saw the tongue come out and go run over the lips and think, oh yes, this looks good. The one thing that I did mention to Peter in the break was we all had ham, I suppose most of you did have, and just use some of it for, I've already made a ham and pea soup because I don't like waste, of course, and so I made some up. So I'm sure you're all making some pea and ham soup to stash away for your winter soups. But anyway, we're talking about the mushrooms at the moment. Two small red onions, 1 tablespoon of caster sugar, 1 tablespoon of sea salt flakes, plus a little extra, 1/2 cup of red wine vinegar, 8 medium portobello field mushrooms, 2 cloves of garlic, and 1/4 cup of olive oil, plus 2 teaspoons extra. And that probably to me would be 2 shakes out of the bottle. And 250 grams of corn kernels, 200 grams of crumbled firm ricotta cheese. Now, using a, have people heard of a mandolin? You know what a mandolin is, don't you, Peter?
I do.
Yeah. Well, you can use one of those, a V-slicer or a sharp knife, and thinly slice the onions. Place onion in a glass or stainless steel bowl with the sugar, salt, and 1/3 cup of the vinegar, and toss to combine, and cover, stand until ready to serve. So that's a sort of a little pickle. Preheat the oven to 200 degrees Celsius. Line a medium oven tray with baking paper. And what would we do without it? Baking paper, that is. Trim stalks slightly from the mushrooms. Thinly slice the garlic. Place the mushrooms stalk side up on a prepared oven tray. Top with the garlic slices and drizzle with the oil and remaining vinegar. Season with salt and freshly ground black pepper. Cover loosely with foil and bake for 20 minutes or until the mushrooms are tender. Sounding good so far, Peter?
Sounding very good, yes.
So after that 20 minutes, we were removing the foil from the mushrooms and top with ricotta and drizzle with the extra oil that we kept behind, or you can just get your bottle and just shake it over. Turn oven to grill function and place under the grill, don't walk away, for 5 minutes until the ricotta is golden. And then just top with the corn kernels and the pickle that we had standing aside in a glass or a stainless steel bowl. And then just put those on the top. Now that looks lovely. That would be a nice little something for a luncheon if you've got, you know, somebody coming round.
I think you're right. If you had a bit of focaccia bread or something.
I was just going to say that, Peter. You took the words out of my mouth with some beautiful bread, and that, I think that would be just lovely.
Just look
and
very nice.
Depending on what time it is, maybe a glass of red.
Well, that's true. Or perhaps if it's too hot, if it's a bit hot, you might want a bit of a chilled white. But anyway.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, we're not fussy.
A little drop of that. Now, I'll pick a couple of things out.
Yes,
there,
yes.
A huge amount of salt between them. It just caught my eye, that amount.
Yeah, there's quite a bit.
Perhaps flakes and not quite so.
Do it to your tasting,
deadly.
I would say. Just do it to your tasting. And I do grind my salt, and it does come out sort of quite heavy.
Yes.
So when I look at it, I think, you know, that's enough.
I tend to be a bit wary of salt these days. The other thing I picked up on, what you talked about baking paper.
Yes.
It's great stuff, I'd agree, and I tend to whop it in any time. But I tell you what I did learn, if you're cooking, and you'll probably be horrified at this, if you're cooking frozen chips, because we don't have a deep fat fryer, if you want them to come crispy and that, don't put them on baking paper on an oven tray, because they just won't crisp up.
Oh. Oh, well, that's interesting.
And if you tip them onto another ordinary oven tray, don't stick to it or anything. They just come off as clean as anything. But yes, it's something I've learnt.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, well, I've had a couple of good hits. I'll never forget the white sauce recipe. I'm not going to mention it again, but I mean, it's my forever favourite now. So I'll remember that about the baking paper. But I just throw mine into a roasting pan. You don't put any type of grease with them, do you?
No. That's right. But I think it's quite important.
Talking about grease, Peter, I tried to find some grease-proof paper the other day, and because baking paper's probably overtaken grease-proof, I don't know, but I couldn't find any.
It's not the same thing.
I just want to wrap my sandwich in it.
Oh, well, you're supposed
rather
to use
Glad wrap.
You're supposed to use this honey. Beeswax.
Oh, I've got one of those. I have to find it in my tea towel drawer.
I mean, you start to feel guilty now. Should I get the cling film out? Maybe not. Certainly bake for us.
I know.
Keep away from that.
Yeah, exactly.
You just feel so guilty, don't you?
Well, I do, because I thought, oh, grease proof's good for just wrapping a biscuit. Like I did a day in Wellington at the Academy of Fine Arts the other day, and I just, you don't want to wrap a biscuit that I'm going to have with my lunch and wrap a couple of things, apart from putting it into a container. But I thought, well, there's no greaseproof paper around to wrap up my little goodies. But never mind. We're going to move on now, Peter, to lemon and thyme syrup cake. And this was, you know, sort of interesting too. I love lemon. I have got a few left on my tree after the possums have had a good feed. But never mind. You need 1/3 cup of raw sugar, 3 eggs, 2/3 cup of plain yogurt, zest of 1 lemon, 3/4 cup of ground almonds, 3/4 cup of plain flour or gluten-free. So you've got that option. 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, which you can get gluten-free. And anyway, if you look on the packet of the baking powder now. It's all gluten-free. So you don't have to rush off and get something special from a specialty shop. Pinch of salt. So, and for the lemon and thyme syrup, juice of one lemon, which is about 3 tablespoons, 1/4 cup of sugar, 1/4 cup of hot water, and 3 to 4 good-sized sprigs of fresh thyme.
Just as well you went to Strawberry Fair.
Yes, because we needed the thyme as well.
We did, didn't we? You haven't used the rosemary and sage.
Yeah. Well, we'll save that for next week. So we're preheating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Line a 20-centimetre cake tin, base and sides with the baking paper, just loosely. In a large mixing bowl, whisk together the sugar and eggs until foamy. Add the yogurt and the lemon zest and whisk well to combine. In a second bowl, combine the ground almonds, flour, baking powder and salt and whisk to aerate and remove any lumps. Add the dry ingredients to the egg mixture and use a spatula to fold together until just combined and then pour into the prepared tin. Bake for 30 to 35 minutes until, you know, you can insert a skewer the same and it comes out clean. While the cake is baking, make the syrup. In a small saucepan, combine the syrup ingredients and bring to the boil. Simmer for 2 minutes, then remove from the heat. Now, once the cake is out of the oven, set the tin on a cooling rack and use a skewer to pierce the cake. You know, just sort of pierce it round. A lot of people do this with their Christmas cakes, don't they, Peter? So you can pour the brandy over the top.
Ours was soaked in sherry, I think.
Oh, okay. Were you sober at the end?
Well, I say soaked.
Yeah. Basically, people do this with Christmas cakes or any other specialty cakes, and then you're going to spoon over that hot syrup and thyme, if you like, and leave to cool in the tin. And it says store that, this tells me not to even take it out of the tin, store in the covered tin or transfer to an airtight container once cool and keep in a cool pantry and enjoy within 4 days. Well, I'd be a little bit careful about storing in a pantry for too many days, but I think it would probably be eaten by then. But anything with sort of like, it's got a bit of moisture in it, you know, with the syrup over the top, you have to be careful about it, maybe. Especially in this heat that we're experiencing at the moment, with it turning off, you know, like maybe gathering a bit of mould or something.
Don't even speculate, Gail. Just eat it.
Yeah, just eat it.
That's
yeah, exactly.
My That's
just
my
eat
motto,
it. Yeah, well, exactly. So it says joy within 4 days. Well, honestly, it would probably be gone in 4 days anyway. But but that's our lemon and thyme syrup cake.
That sounds jolly nice. Anything with lemon is always nice, isn't
love.
It? And are you like us? Do you have a lemon tree in the garden?
I do.
And do you have got about a million lemons come out?
Ah, well, I did until something's eating the rind. Mm. And if any listener can tell me what that is, and they just leave the actual lemon whole, and it drops to the ground, and it's all chewed off the rind.
Oh, well, let's hope somebody's listening can help you out with that one.
Bad news.
A bit bad news.
And I
it?
Have got a beautiful lemon tree, but I look out, I've got a few lemons left towards the middle. Maybe that's too dicey for somebody to walk over and chew. I don't know. But somebody said it might be a rat, but I don't know. I've got a rat trap set.
It's a funny thing for rats to eat. I thought.
Yeah. Possum. And I've been out there at night, had a look. Haven't heard a word.
It's not a kind of fungus or anything that sort of, it's obviously.
Well,
is it
that would be interesting, but I don't think so.
Sometimes you sort of end up with a bit of brownie sort of.
No, definitely no. Like nibble marks.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. If there's anybody out there.
Challenge.
Yes, has got an answer to that. Just drop us a line, an email or something at Coast Access Radio. Help Gail out with
thank
lemon
you.
Tree.
Thank you. And I'd appreciate that.
Well, we're always open for tips and advice.
We are.
Well, there we are, Gail. We've got through the first programme
we
of the
have,
year.
We have, we have.
I think it wasn't too bad. So we look forward to next week.
Yes,
same,
we
same
do.
Same time, same place.
It's good to be back.
And yes, see what you've got to offer us then.
Okay, right. Okay, thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Gail. Off we go.
Off we go.
Bye for now.
Yeah. This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.